My name is Getahun, and I work in Los Angeles. I'm the chief epidemiologist there. I thought my presentation is a little bit out of space because what we heard is about program collaboration and service integration. And I was worried, you know, people will not listen to me. But the more I think about it, I think it is appropriate. Because a lot of things is going on at a national and local level. Budget is being cut. Cost effectiveness is becoming into forefront. We have to be cost effective. And also, we are talking more of social determinants, which some of the determinants are outside public health control. And in the meantime, parallelly, the diseases we are trying to control are integrating themselves. I'll be talking about HIV and syphilis. So before we even started the process of integration, the diseases are integrated, and clients are coming, as the previous speaker said, with both diseases at the same time. So instead now, we are forced by the disease itself to integrate. But in the meantime, when we look at the syphilis epidemics, the last 10 years, which started 10 years, 10 years after intervention, the numbers are not coming down. Instead, the numbers are coming up. And HIV and syphilis comorbidity, when we look at the rate, the total number of cases is increasing. So we need to stop and think. To stop and think and say, what shall we do? Or why, if we are get caught with those dramatic changes which are going on, the Obamacare coming, so many things are happening, we might lose the war. So this is what I would like just to say, you know, highlight what is the recent trend. Do we really have time, a pushing time to stop and think? Or shall we still be continuing doing our intervention, intensifying it, till we at least get a grip with the epidemics? So to start with my presentation, I'll just give you a background about Los Angeles County and the syphilis epidemics in Los Angeles County. And then we have a behavioral surveillance and try to see what are the behavioral risks associated with HIV and STD and HIV co-infection. And then the main one is what is the latest trend of both morbidities, and then I will just conclude and try to give some of my recommendations. Now, Los Angeles County, for those of us who work in data, is the capital city of data, honestly, because it is a 10 million population, predominantly minority, Hispanic and African Americans make around 60% of the population. Very young, highly sexually active, the weather is very up, you know, helps. And also we have a large population of men having sex with men. And we have the largest jail system in the country. Because of that, our morbidity in terms of STD and HIV is one of the highest in the country. And we contribute one-third of the data to the state, even though the population is not one-third in California. Therefore, for those of us who like to do research, who like to study data and develop the evidence for program and for policy, it is a place where one dreams to be. And I'm very lucky to be working there. Now, I would like to give you a little bit background about the history of syphilis in Los Angeles. Now, in the beginning, in the 80s, there was a crack epidemic. During that crack epidemic, predominantly the minority population were being affected. And it was directly related with the cocaine, crack cocaine epidemics. That was that came into the media, and then an intervention was done. Because of that, the rate of syphilis starts to come down. But at the same time, around 1995-96, a blessing in disguise happened. The protease inhibitor was introduced into the market. So those of our brothers and sisters who were HIV positive, who were dying of AIDS, stops to die. And therefore, as a result, they start to be sexually active and healthy. So now we get a second wave of epidemics, which is related to the success of our management of HIV cases. And now the new epidemics, the recent epidemics we have, is an epidemic of both HIV and STD together. Now, specifically, the latest epidemics we have at hand in Los Angeles County started around 2001. It was mainly among men having sex with men, and over 50% were HIV positive, and it is concentrated geographically around Hollywood, Wilshire, metro area, the central area. Now, we think, also the literature supports that, the reason we have the latest epidemics is because of the greater success of highly active antiretroviral medication, the resulting decline in the number of newly reported AIDS cases and AIDS deaths, and the increasing popularity of erectile drug like Viagra and meth use. So when we look at the trend between 2005 and 2010, the HIV prevalence among syphilis cases is at constant. You know, it's almost over 50% of our cases are co-infected with HIV. Now, what is the pattern of the STD among our HIV clients? When we look at that, 45% of our HIV cases are also co-infected with syphilis. And then in addition to that, some of our clients are also co-infected with two STDs, syphilis GC, syphilis CT, and there is a core, a center part where they are also co-infected with four diseases, HIV, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. Now, we wanted to see whether, even though the risk factor for syphilis and HIV is the same, and we are dealing with a passive data, and it's very difficult to do causality, the causes, but we wanted to see the difference, the behavioral difference between those who have only syphilis and those who are also infected with HIV, and try to identify what are those behavioral risk factors and see their trends, whether you know, our intervention is having an impact or whether those, you know, it's continuing, why are the numbers increasing. Now, we did a chi-square test, and we found that men having sex with men was a risk factor for having syphilis and HIV, and also condom use, having anonymous sex, going to bathhouses and sex clubs to get partner and have sex, getting partners through the internet, IV drug use, and having multiple partners. Those are traditional risk factors for any STDs, but they were asset risk factors. So the next part, which is the main part of my presentation, is what are the trends? Now, when we look at the trends, I started it from 2002. Between 2002 and 2011, the rate of early syphilis per 100,000 increased by 327%. And between the last, I tend to see that the recent trend might predict the future. Therefore, between 2005 and 2011, The rate of syphilis in Los Angeles County increased by 26.4%, whereas the rate of HIV and syphilis co-infection increased by 62%. I mean, the number increased by 62%. So instead of getting the rate, the number flattening or decreasing, what we are seeing is an increasing trend, which again, you know, force us to think about that we have no time, we cannot stop. Even though we have to do all the other things, the integration, the budgeting, the new, you know, approach and so forth. So how about with the behaviors, the risk behaviors? The same is true with the risk behaviors. The trend with the risk factor is also increasing. It's not decreasing or it's not flattening. So what is the change between the two? Is it statistically significant? Now the rate, the increase in rate is not by accident. It's not by chance, and it is statistically significant. Also, the increase in HIV is significant. Therefore, what is our final, I have no time, so I have to go to the final message. So the final message is just simple. You know, it says our research suggests that syphilis epidemics and associated HIV comorbidity is far from being over, far from being controlled. Therefore, prevention and treatment programs should be intensified by allocating new resources, not decreasing resources, allocating more resources and exploring new risk reduction strategies, like, you know, integrating the new technology, which we are trying to do in Los Angeles, you know, using partner services through the internet, using handheld devices, texting messages to contact partners, bringing them for testing and linkage to care, expanding our partner services, our program collaboration and service integration, and so forth. So that's all. Thank you. Excellent question. Initially, till 2007, they were being interviewed by 2DIS. The STD program does the partner services and the index case interview. So we had syphilis PHIs, we call them public health investigators, and then we have HIV PHIs. That is because, you know, as you all know, programs, my experience in the United States is that programs are developed based on funding stream. So because the funding was separate, so we had to train. Now, in 2007, we integrated our partner services. And instead of having two PHIs talking to one person, we have one PHI who is cross-trained, both in HIV and syphilis, and do their partner services. And we had published a paper on it, on the outcome of partner services. After, we call it integration and also community embedded DIS, you know. And the outcome was, I mean, very much improved. So now at this time, you know, they are being interviewed, the index case is interviewed by one DIS, and the partner is also interviewed. It's a holistic approach. Yes.
I have two questions. I apologize if I missed this in the presentation, but were your syphilis co-infected clients, were they previously diagnosed HIV positive, or were they concurrent diagnoses?
Excellent question.
And then the second part of that is, if they were previously HIV positive, have you identified any factors that are causing them now to become syphilis infected?
Yeah. The majority of them are previously HIV positive. The majority of them. We have another program, you know, a pilot program about acute recent HIV infection. So we are getting some, but the number is not that big. So the reason, as I said earlier, the reason why our HIV seropositive clients are getting other STDs is because, you know, most of them are young. So they don't have that the old story of, you know, the HIV news. They don't know that. Number two, HIV is becoming like a chronic disease, like diabetes, hypertension. So people are saying, you know, you are living well, you know, they are having unprotected sex. And then the other factor, I did a presentation like 3 years ago, you know, what about Venus. And the internet is playing a big role, because with internet, disclosure of status, you know, they don't disclose their status. And therefore, and also it is a casual sex, anonymous sex. And then the Venus, the sex club and the Venus are also, you know, playing into the why we are getting more.
You had a couple of slides that had MSM with other risk factors, and I kind of almost want to question if it was appropriate to put MSM with those risk factors, MSM being an orientation, sexual orientation, a person, an exact risk factor by itself. Mm-hmm. So perhaps the slides should have had MSM heterosexual, and the other risk factors either being MSM and this or heterosexual and this.
Yeah, that's, I think CDC people might help me to answer that. I think MSM is a risk factor. Because if you look at risk in a, you know, by recommendation from the CDC and also literature, having sex with another at this time, it is both a risk factor and also, you know, it's an identity, you know. But when you compare, you know, controlling for everything, when you compare sexual orientation, heterosexual versus MSM, then if you have a high prevalence among MSM, MSM becomes a risk factor. And then you have MSM versus IDU, MSM, you know, non-IDU, then but it's a risk factor, you know. It's not the cause, but there is an association.
Well, MSM is not always an identity. And that's one of the reasons why it's listed as a risk behavior, because it's just men having sex with other men. Some may be gay identified, some may be bi identified, some may be heterosexual identified. So it's really a behavior to add on to what you just said. And so that it is not always an identity. And that is, in fact, some of the reason why there is more risk factor associated with it, because of not being able to identify because of circumstances or because of personal homophobia and community and all that business. So, you know, that is part of the reason why we have to kind of look at it that way, which is unfortunate, because then it gets blurred about whether it's identity versus just the behavior.
Yeah.